Show here on WWPR 1490 AM in the studio. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, TradingView.com columnist, and, of course, Augie Perino here on the WWPR radio station. Also, Perino, we seem to be having technical issues. We are hoping to get a call here from Daniel Estelin in just a moment, and we'll continue with our plan once that happens. We certainly... It has been a morning for this, if you listen to the Talking Market Show.
Well, we're in a bit of dispute right now about the nature of what markets really are. It's not a bunch of corporations buying into a market here and there and everywhere. The dominant market in the United States is nothing more than our Midwest grain belt. It's the largest export market we have. No other market matches it, none. And it's $133 billion. It's half of what that half a trillion dollars is really what it is. And so, or maybe more than that. So the point is, this business that some corporations here and there are going to tip a market one way or another, more so than the grain market, is silly.
Well, I think where we left it on the clip was Steve Bannon saying that the goal of the trade war, well, I think we will be able to get this. I'm going to go right live on the air to answer this. And I'm hoping that as I pull up the phone that this will be Daniel Estelin. And
hello.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much. I apologize for any inconvenience we've caused you.
Okay. I can't hear you very well. Okay. Can you guys do something to make me hear you better?
We hear you.
You hear me fine. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you're coming through pretty good for us.
Okay.
Let me just give a
prompt. So it should be fine.
Yes. Daniel Estelin is an award-winning investigative journalist, international best-selling author, researcher, public speaker, and senior political analyst. He's been a film director, a producer, and foreign policy advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff of two Latin American nations and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the Russian Federation. He is also a global best-selling author, and probably the most well-known of his books is The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, which sold 7.2 million copies in 68 countries, translated into 42 languages. You can find out more about this when the show's over by going to danielestelin.com. Estelin is E-S-T-U-L-I-N. We'll give you that, of course, many more times. And the book we're looking at right now to talk about is In the Shadows of the Presidency, his newest book. And, Daniel, before we get into the meat and potatoes of that, I just want to let you know, in the studio we have Seeking Crypto's co-founder and TradingView columnist Andy Gonsi, Goldbug1, and Augie, who you and I actually have spoken with Augie 4 or 5 years ago. I don't expect you to remember that on a morning show before, so he's well familiar with you, too.
If you recall that.
I don't. I'm sorry, unfortunately.
It's all right.
Thank you so much.
So, In the Shadows of the President covers a lot of ground. Tell us the premise, but I want to get into some of the meat and potatoes of it after that. So, how would you describe In the Shadows of a Presidency?
Well, you know, actually, the impetus to write this book came right after the Dartmouth Conference in Dayton, Ohio in 2014. I can tell you the date. It was the day, over the day after the elections, the midterm elections. And, we were sitting around with some of the people from the Russian Federation, some members of the government, people in the intelligence community. We were sitting with the American delegation and some other representatives from other places, and we were just talking about the upcoming 2016 elections and what just transpired in the midterm 2014 elections. And we told the Americans, we said that according to what, you know, we've been looking at as far as our model diagrams for the future, because I'm a doctor of conceptual intelligence. We basically create models that explain the future of humanity about 50 years ahead. And we said to them that based on what we see, no liberal banking financier, meaning nobody from the Clinton crowd, and by that I don't mean the Democrats, because again, remember, the Bushes also voted with the Clintons, so it's transversal, it's not, you know, along party lines. The entire edifice of the world system is run by the liberal banking financier Bretton Woods crowd. And so we explained to them that these people, because the system is collapsing, and we're seeing it right now, this was 4 years ago, but now it's absolutely blatantly obvious, that no one from this crowd, meaning Wall Street, International Monetary Fund, Pro World Bank, World Trade Organization, Federal Reserve, none of these people could possibly win the presidency. And so we gave him three options. We said, like, the way we see it, it would be someone like Rand Paul will be one of the candidates, which we discarded immediately because he didn't have the business acumen to be president. And then we thought of Bernie Sanders being a liberal. And then we thought of someone who basically filled out the profiles of a Donald Trump. We didn't say Donald Trump, but we pretty much understood it would have to be someone who may not have the political acumen, but certainly have the business acumen to run the country. And Trump is doing exactly that. He's running the United States. It was his, you know, personal feud. And the Americans, and I explained it in the first chapter of my book, you know, and the Americans kind of looked at us, and it has nothing to do with Mueller's silly investigation. It has nothing to do with all the stuff we're seeing right now with Russiagate, which is complete and utter nonsense. It was just logical because the system was collapsing, and this is a very important part of what we're seeing right now because the meltdown is here. And what we saw yesterday, a couple of days ago, last week, this isn't, you know, an anomaly. The things are going to get back to normal. This thing is not over by a long shot. Think of this meltdown as stocks playing catch-up to economic realities. And those are the economic realities of slowing global economy, of deflating housing bubble as a result of Fed rate hikes, obviously, and needless to say, trade war with China. And each of these realities had an asset class warning about what was to come. We can talk about copper, we can talk about home builders, we can talk about Chinese stock market. All of these things suggest stocks are going lower. And it's no longer a question if, it's a question of when and by how much. And for those who think that the Fed is going to save stocks, you better think again, because as I've warned repeatedly, and I explained in great detail in my book, the Federal Reserve is far from concerned about far more concerned about bonds than stocks. Because, you see, when stocks collapse, investors lose money. When bonds collapse, entire countries go broke. And with that in mind, once the U.S. bond market, you know, began to collapse, pushing yields above this long-term trend line, you know, we've been seeing for such a long time, it became apparent that the Fed would sacrifice stocks to save bonds. And anyway, to make a long story short, what we're seeing right now, okay, is a collapse of the system. Because although on the surface, you know, we're led to believe the American economy is roaring and everything looks great, but just beneath this veneer, the largest financial bubble of all time is blowing up, and this global bubble of everything, we're looking at four quadrillion is 4 and 15 zeros, okay? So just the U.S. bond market is over $20 trillion in size. And if you include junior debt and instruments, it's over $60 trillion in size. And this whole mess is beginning to blow up. Just as the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury, the single most important bond in the world, has broken out above its multi-decade trend line. For the people, for the layman listening to this, there's no way to save this model. And Donald Trump, who is basically the representative of an alternative group of people, because remember, behind Clinton, who is a nobody, he's just a face of the people really running things behind the scenes. You have the establishment of Washington, you have the Federal Reserve, the mainstream media, Hollywood, Silicon Valley, intelligence agencies. These are the Soros, the Rockefellers, you know, the liberal banking financier crowd, because it's not the United States. It's not the fight between Clinton and Donald Trump. It's a global phenomenon, because what you're seeing in the States, you're seeing in Canada, you're seeing it in Latin America, you're seeing it in Europe, you're seeing it in England. With Brexit, you're seeing it in China and Southeast Asia. It's a global phenomenon because the model, which has worked since 1944 and was put together at the Bretton Woods Conference by the winners of World War II, is now dead, because there's no such thing as infinite growth on a finite planet. And we're coming to the point where that's over. And the thing is that and these are the kinds of things I explain in my book, which no other book covers, because all these other books on Donald Trump talk about his fallacious, you know, voracious sex appetite, his things that he has done in Moscow in a hotel room, et cetera, which is really, really irrelevant, because the backdrop to this whole thing is the collapse of the model.
Hold that thought for just a second, because I have to say you're listening to WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay, AM 1490. Just had to do the station ID, but since I got you catching your breath for just a second, let me remind people that we're talking about the book In the Shadows of a Presidency by Daniel Estulin. The website is danielestulin.com. And Daniel, before we go on, because for a lot of people, their economic history, if it goes back that far, started with the crisis in 2007 and 2008. But one of the best things about this book, of the many best things about this book, is you go all the way back to the roots of the Constitution and the conflicts between different factions in our revolutionary period. Because a lot of the reverence that American people have from their media of the founders, it seems like it was a unified group of people. You talk about Hamilton and his idea for the Bank of the United States, the American system, and versus maybe, I guess, his opposition would be centered around the people that had the thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. Could you explain that to the people? And let's go forward from there to get where we are today.
Okay, if I may, very, very quickly, just before I get and explain Hamilton, I wanted to finish my previous thoughts. What's happening right now, you see, between 1944 and 1991, you had two models at war. You had the capitalist Western model, and you had the socialist Soviet-based model. And these models coexisted pretty much between 1944 and 1991. That's when the Soviet Union collapsed. And then in 1991, these two models basically merged into one global pan-world liberal banking model. And so the West, which was experiencing its own economic problems beginning in the 1980s because they had nowhere else to expand, got a new lease on life because when the Soviet Union collapsed, they basically conquered the territory of the former Soviet bloc, Warsaw Pact Soviet countries, socialist countries. And that gave them another 30 years of life. But now that's over because on the planet Earth, you can only expand so much. And now they've reached a point where there's nowhere else to go. And so everything you're seeing right now in the world, in the United States and everywhere else, is a consequence of what I'm describing right now. When we're talking about Hamiltonian model, I do explain it in, I think it's the first chapter of my book, talking about, you know, the means to defeat this model is to mobilize, first of all, the American people, because right now there's no such thing as homogeneous the United States. So when people are talking about America against Russia, America against China, America doesn't exist. We're in the midst of a civil war in the United States. The United States is not a homogeneous country. It's two countries. And people, if people don't understand that, please explain to me Clinton versus Trump. Please explain to me Republicans against the Democrats. We saw this with the Kavanaugh hearings for the Supreme Court. We're seeing it every single day with Antifa, you know, the millennials, the Black Lives Matter, all the stuff that's going on in America, you know, with racist colors, creeds, etc. It's the stuff. There's no such thing as American people right now. And the first thing is to mobilize America and make them understand that the evil we're facing right now is global. It has a name, liberalism. So if democracy is control of society by the Democrats, liberalism is control of society by bankers. And because the bankers are out of luck because they have nowhere to expand, what we're seeing right now is fight to the death. Because, again, it's not only in the United States. Because, again, the whole thing of Donald Trump is to carry out his pledge, this is very important, to enact the Glass-Steagall Act. And, as you said, and I explain in the book, restore the American system of Hamiltonian banking capable of directing credit into national infrastructures, industrial and agricultural growth, and also restoring the nation's dedication to advancing the frontiers of scientific knowledge through fusion power development and space exploration. It's not a surprise, it shouldn't be, to people who are listening to Trump's, I think it was his very first speech, he said, infrastructure. And that is a key element of what America can be, okay, if Trump wins the midterms elections. And everything you see right now, okay, with Kavanaugh, with all the stuff, you know, the revelations, sex revelations, Stormy Daniels, or wherever it is.
Daniel, could you define liberalism? Because you don't mean, like, whether you're pro-abortion or anti-abortion or whether you want
to. No, it has nothing. No, it's the whole concept. If democracy or conservatism is taking personal responsibility for your actions. Okay, liberalism is just the contrary. It's not taking any responsibility for anything. So whatever happens, it just basically washes. It has nothing to do with abortion. I don't want to go into that. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the concept because, again, we're talking conceptually. And conceptually, what we're seeing right now is the fight to the death because, again, if before, on a supranational level, meaning above presidents and prime ministers, the elite, be it the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, these, you know, they can get together, they were able to, and basically divide up the world between them into different, you know, parts. Now there's not enough for everybody because, again, the economy is collapsing. And so we're seeing this fight. And, again, so what we're seeing right now is the liberals, and I don't mean Democrats, because most of the people in the Republican Party, especially, as I said before, the Bushes, for example, they voted for the Clintons because they represent a model, and it's not party model. It's transversal. It's global financial model. And so, again, because we're in baseball playoffs, we'll use baseball playoffs.
Daniel, this
they're
is...
They're down to the last strike.
Yeah, Daniel.
They've got to get Trump out or Trump wins. Midterm, yeah. He wins in 2020.
Right.
And he dismantles the entire liberal structure.
And which is a real collapse. In terms of that, it's my idea, and I think people who... And right now, some of the people in the middle belt, our biggest market, and you mentioned agriculture as the first thing, you said it yourself, is the first criteria, is $133 billion. That's our market. We're about to lose that. Is that really the big peg in this collapse?
Again, the collapse has to do with the fact that the model it is based on is now dead.
Well, maybe
it was
so.
A model which was created way back when, but now because there's nowhere else to go, they need to find a new economic model.
That's a different...
Because that model, Bret Moore's, based on infinite expansion, cannot work anymore. We're seeing the consequences of that.
Well, that may
okay?
be.
And what basically has happened is the... Well, when I say Democrats, but it's not Democrats. It's the liberal structure. They've lost the presidency, which means they lost access to their mission center. A mission center means, you know, this little machine that prints money. When you and I don't have money, we can't go to the, you know, we don't have a machine that prints money for us, but the government does. And with Trump winning the presidency, they suddenly lost access to this machine that prints money. And this is their end, because without this, they cannot survive.
What would the new economic model look like?
It's a good question, because there are several ideas being kicked around. Actually, going back to just after 9/11, one of them is regionalizing of world economies. Meaning you dismantle countries because, again, think of it this way. Between 1648, that's Westphalia, and late 1960s of the 20th century, you had a model which was called nation-state, called Global 1.0. Okay, countries, constitutions, borders, you know, currencies, et cetera, et cetera. And then in 1968, Bilderbergers, again, as you mentioned, it's my famous book, published back in 2005, at a meeting in Montreal, on the outskirts of Montreal in Canada, they came up with the idea of dismantling nations and creating Global 2.0, which is a global company limited. There are corporations that have more power than any government on the planet. We can talk about Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. A lot of these enormous, you know, multi-global corporations have more power than most government on the planet. Now we're in Global 3.0, which is a world of networking post-industrial age. So what we're seeing right now, one of the ideas is dismantling of countries and creating regional economic blocks, which will work as independent entities. There's a reason why California is trying to secede from the Union. There's a reason why somebody is willing to pay $200 billion to buy Baja California, that's Mexican part of California, and create, you know, I don't know what they want to call it, you know, the nation of California. There's a reason why you have over 60 independent movements in Europe. Be it in Catalonia, Spain, be it in Lombardy, northern Italy, be it in Scotland, be it any, there's over 60 of these movements just in Europe alone. Because, again, the idea is you dismantle countries and create regional economic blocks. For a regional economic block to work, you need a minimum population base, which is minimum 300 million people, and preferably up to 500 million people. And if you look at it, again, this isn't a new idea. They've been kicking around this for about 17 years. One would be, for example, the United States, Canada, parts, northern parts of Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, that would be one region. The rest of Mexico and South America would be another region. Europe, you know, with Paris, Berlin actions would be another region. You know, India would be a separate region. China would be a separate region. Russia would be, you know, divided into two, et cetera, et cetera. This would be done voluntarily because, again, the idea is you need regional stability, and each region would work independently.
Daniel, you
this
just
is
mentioned,
one idea. Another
Daniel,
idea, that is more recent.
You just mentioned something I've been saying for at least 4 or 5 years that there's a likelihood, I believe, that California will seek relationship with Canada and maybe Mexico at the same time. And I've said this to groups, and they think I'm nuts. I think it's...
You're not nuts, because, again, you have to understand, and people have to understand, that the concept of nation-state today with the present economic reality, because, again, the backdrop is economy. And if the economy doesn't work, if the entire model collapses, you need something to substitute it with. And at this present time, and what you're seeing right now, for example, this trade war between the United States and China, it is not real. It is not real in the intelligence
Daniel,
world.
On that point that you brought up, let me play you a brief clip here that we had on just before you came on. And it's Steve Bannon speaking to an interview in CNBC, and he describes what victory in the trade war is. Now, I don't have the whole clip queued up. I hopefully have it pretty close to the point where he says what the victory looks like, maybe about 20 seconds off here. But let me play it and tell me how that relates to what you were trying to tell us just now. Here he goes, Steve Bannon, about a month and a half ago.
I hear all that, but I want to talk about where the trade war is going.
Well, I don't. By the way, I think right.
How
now, I think.
It,
I think
so how it ends is in victory.
How it ends is in victory. Donald Trump is not going to back off this. The Chinese are going to blink right now.
What is victory?
Victory is when they give us full access to their markets. Victory is when they stop. Remember, the warlord isn't in China right now, and she is under, I think, tremendous pressure. Is the state-owned industries. Remember, China, Made in China 2025, they told us it was to leapfrog us and to converge on advanced chip design, robotics, and artificial intelligence to converge eventually with genetics, to converge on advanced manufacturing. What the reality is, we saw in GTE, is to get off the West supply chain for...
ZTE.
Yeah. ZTE was to get off the West supply chain for components. I think the number one thing you're going to see out of the trade war is the reorientation of the complete supply chain of Japan, Western Europe, in the United States, and Southeast Asia, that 800 million people, even before you get to India, okay, around the freedom-loving countries. I think the regime in China is in deep trouble.
So what I'm taking from that, the reorientation of the global supply chain, of the industrial supply chain, that doesn't sound like people that are going to acquiesce to regional economies. That seems like a different kind of hegemony over the industrial world.
Again, remember one thing. A real diplomacy is not done in public arenas. Whatever is said for public consumption is done in a way to cover the real story. This is the real diplomacy. This is the real intelligence works. He did say some very interesting things, because what he was talking about, you know, especially the technical advancement part of it, we're talking about 6 technological advancement. Now, the thing about China and the United States, this trade war, it's all nonsense. You see, back in 1979, you can ask Steve Bannon and he'll confirm it, okay? Jimmy Carter and Deng Xiaoping signed a secret non-intervention agreement, okay? It was extended for 20 years and another 20 years by the Clintons, and then 2 more years, 2021. The agreement basically states that the United States and China will not enter into any kind of war. What you're seeing right now, this alleged trade war, is basically a way for the two countries to violently separate their spheres of influence, and each is going to go its own way. America is going to go dollar denomination to the United States, again, regionalizing the economies, not petrodollar, because, again, remember, petrodollar is a model of Trump's enemies, the liberal banking financier crowd. And China is going to go to China and their sphere of influence to a two-contour system. What is a two-contour system? Two-contour system is yuan backed up by gold, physical gold, and the second contour will be electronic money to write off this enormous $4 quadrillion debt, because you can't write off, you cannot write off debt, fictional debt through physical gold. You can only, you know, push it through a make it disappear through electronic money. So the idea is this. China goes their way and the United States goes their way. Because, again, remember, China is not China. China is the Rothschilds. They're working together. They have been working together forever. Okay? One of the things about Hong Kong, one of the things about Taiwan in 2025, which is going to be part of China.
We're going to come back to the point about China on the other side of the break. I want to let everybody know we're talking about the book In the Shadows of a Presidency by Daniel Estulin. Yeah, the website is danielestulin.com. It's going to be about a minute and a half break, Daniel, and we'll be right back to you. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage. Quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Raine Show here in WWPR, 1490 AM. And in the studio, we have Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug One. Augie, on the line, we have the author of In the Shadows of a Presidency, Daniel Estulin. The website is danielestulin.com, E-S-T-U-L-I-N, but I'm sure Google will find it for you. They know everything. If you just Google Daniel Estulin, as best you can spell it. And before we went to a break, and I do want to give a heads up to Daniel, if you have the time, we can run over a little bit since we got started a little bit late. And I do want, before we wind up, whenever that moment is, you know, as you might have been able to tell from the commercials, the focus of the show is about digital currency, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and blockchain. I'd like to touch on that before we eventually say goodbye.
Okay. I have about maybe 8.5 minutes because then I have another interview right on half an hour. I wanted to finish what I was saying about China. China is not, again, is not a homogenous country. There are three Chinas. There's the agrarian China, which is over a billion people strong, most of them using 19th century agricultural methodologies. And if they use 20th century technology, half of them will be unemployed, meaning 500-600 million people. Okay, so we're talking about zero or first technological advancement. Then we have another 300 million people, which is industrial China, that's second, third, fourth technological advancement, as was the Soviet Union, let's say, in the 1970s and the 1980s. And then there's post-industrial China, that's the financial centers, Hong Kong, Shanghai, et cetera. That's maybe about another 150 million people. So these are the three Chinas, and China has a very big problem. Their problem is that they bought into the American model, okay, which is based, again, on labor and capital. The Chinese have the labor, but America has the capital. And now America closing the markets. Chinese need their own markets because they need to sell whatever it is that they're making, just as everyone else does, to somebody else. And the Silk Road is is a very covert way of expanding territory, okay, towards exterior. And it was actually put together back in 1986 through this secret stratagem called stratagem number 863 by Deng Xiaoping, territorial expansion by covert means. That said, I also want to point out that we're talking about liberalism and Donald Trump and covert diplomacy. For example, there's a lot of talk now going on in the media about oil possibly going to $200 a barrel as a result of crisis with Iran, of Khashoggi assassination, etc. And everybody's saying this is bad for the United States. It may be bad for the United States, but it's great for Donald Trump. Because, again, when we're talking about bad for the United States, which United States? It's bad for the liberal banking financier United States that Trump is fighting against and trying to destroy. So I don't at all discard the fact that Donald Trump could very well have a secretive agreement with Iran in place. We saw this before in Iran-Contra back in 1980. We're using Iran to push the oil price to $200 a barrel, dismantles the liberal banking world economic system. Trump can't do that himself because he's going to have an entire world against him. But he can use the situation in the hostilities with Iran, the situation war in Syria, or even Khashoggi's assassination by the Saudis, to push any one of these countries in defying America and pushing the oil to $200 a barrel.
Yeah. What would be the economic interests that support Donald Trump?
Again, it's a very good question. We talked about the people behind Hillary Clinton. Because, again, we're talking to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not equals America. America is liberal banking financiers. Donald Trump is what you can call a black international. Black international is blood and soil. Soil is black, and that's why it's called black international. It's the old European nobility. It's the royal families of Europe. It's the Rothschilds. It's the Queen of England. These are the people behind. It's city. Not London, but city, the epicenter of the British Empire. It's Hong Kong. It's Singapore, the financial centers. These are the groups, the people and the organizations behind Donald Trump, because they understand that if the model collapses, they will have lost most, because they're the ones who control lands. And also we can include Vatican in the equation as well. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is taking orders from the Vatican. I hope people don't, you know, misinterpret what I'm saying. But I'm saying is that behind Donald Trump, the people who support him are infinitely more powerful than anything that Hillary Clinton or a ragtag army could put together. And that's why Trump is dismantling, you know, one block or brick at a time. Again, his enemies are Hollywood, Silicon Valley, establishment of Washington, the mainstream media, the intelligence agencies, Soros, the Rockefellers, and he's dismantling each of them individually and put together. So when people are saying Trump is absolutely insane, he doesn't understand what he's doing, he's fighting against Canada, he's fighting against Europe, he's fighting against NATO, he's fighting against Germany, he's fighting against all these people because they're his enemies, because they all represent a liberal banking financier order, which is obvious he's going to fight them. Canada is not the friend of the United States under current government because it's run by the liberals. You could say the same thing about Europe. You could say the same thing about International Monetary Fund, World Bank, World Trade Organizations. They're all elements of the Bretton Woods model, thus enemies of Trump and the people behind him. So people are saying this guy is insane, he's fighting against our friends. These are not the friends of Donald Trump and the America he represents.
Before we run out of time and have to say goodbye, let's at least touch briefly on Bitcoin, digital currency, and cryptocurrencies. There's a lot of libertarians that look at it as a new alternative model, the digital gold. What are your thoughts about that?
It very well may be in the future. Right now it's all speculative because there's nothing behind it. One of the things that people have to understand, for example, again, blockchain is one thing. Digital currency or cryptocurrencies is something else. What we're seeing right now on a global stage is the decentralization model, meaning you have, I don't know how many cryptocurrencies there are there, like 3,000, 5,000, I have lost track, okay? But people should understand that if you try to have a regional, you know, physical currency to make competition to the United States dollar, it will be shut down immediately by the government, and yet you have 5,000 different cryptocurrencies, and they're all working and operating, you know, out there. And the reason for that is the government is prototyping a model. It's not scalable enough. They need to make it scale, which means that they're letting all these people, okay, on the global scale, work and improve the model. But once they improve it through regulations, the government, you know, can centralize it, you know, a million different ways through regulations. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen. Right now it's pure speculation. It went from zero to 20,000. Now Bitcoin is down to, what, 6,300. It doesn't matter what it is, because right now it's not scalable enough. It's not operational enough for it to be a currency.
One news item that we've been following the last 2 weeks here, and actually before, but it's come to a head. We've had Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Merrill Lynch, Fidelity, and Citibank all announced that they will either be allowing their clients to buy Bitcoin directly or a derivative product of it by the early part of 2019. What does that say to you?
It tells me that they're looking for ways to make money. You know, banks are about making money, and because the system, the current system, is collapsing, they need to find new clients and need to find new niches, and this is one of the ways they're doing it.
Well,
because,
well,
again, don't forget something else that they're not announcing. You know, the biggest business in the world is you know, running drugs, and the drugs are laundered through the world's biggest banks. There's a reason why Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, Citigroup, Coutts, that's, you know, Queen of England's private bank, Wachovia, which was caught, you know, 10 years ago laundering $360 billion of Mexican narcos drug money, and the president came out and said, I don't know what happened, and of course we believe them, et cetera, et cetera. So this is, again, this is just niches. We'll see what's going to happen. But, you know, we're into some very interesting times because, again, the model, which has worked since 44, is dead. And we're looking for ways to create a new model. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in the meantime.
And so a question for you on the derivatives. Did you say it's $4 quadrillion? Because I've seen estimates like
that. No, not derivatives. The entire bubble. The entire global bubble, including derivatives, housing, everything else. It's $4 quadrillion.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and if you want to go more into depth, because Daniel has to leave, you want to buy the book In the Shadows?
I'm definitely buying the book. Now, if I send it to you, Daniel, will you sign it for me and send it back?
Well, actually, if you want, just send me the address. I have the books. I have a box of books at home just for that purpose. The best way to get a hold of me is my Twitter. It's at @EstulinDaniel, because my website, which is english.danielestulin.com, because I don't have a Spanish site. It's english.danielestulin.com. And if people are interested in getting a book, I have a box of books from my publisher, which are just there for that, you know, signing for the clients or for the readers. It's a very different book from anything out there because it touches what nobody else talks about. It's not the fight between the, you know, Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. It's the fight for a new economic model. And it's a fight to the death because the liberals, they understand, if they lose, they're minced meat.
All right. Well, we'll leave it with that. Again, Daniel, thank you for your generosity of your time. Thank you for overcoming our technical issue. And best of luck. I hope we get to talk again sometime.
Anytime. Thank you so
Daniel.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Wow, that was mind-boggling.
Huh?
I mean, I've seen a lot of, you know, of course, being a gold follower, you see all the conspiracies on gold and silver in the banking state and all this stuff. But, you know, most of them are a lot of bull crap. But actually, he makes a lot of sense, and I like what he's saying about
regional economies. That's the key.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
so we could have regional groups fighting against each other than unipolar world where we fight against everybody.
Why I believe this is, we're really in a very quick situation. You can say what you want about the trade wars being just one of those things, but when your market goes at $103 billion in this precarious time, California says we don't need that. Calls up Canada, calls up Mexico. Hey, that's what their secession will amount to. And New York will join, Minnesota will join, and the guts of the United States are what you call the center, and Washington is unnecessary.
And what army of California will enforce that?
It won't need one.
Mm-hmm. No, I think people underestimate the huge conservative constituency in the breadbasket of the world.
I think people that California. Are... say these underestimate the willingness of the central government to use violence to maintain order.
They have to have a united country for that.
All right. Well, as I told you, this was going to be a different show from our usual. We'll probably be back to our usual crew next Saturday. Be sure to start your listening day with the Talking Market Show at 11:30, and we will be on at 12:05 with Henry Raines' show. And be sure and check out SeekingCryptos.com as well as TradingView.com. I forgot where the other place you could find Gold Bug was. Oh, we'll be back next week with another show.
Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true.